It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey, and this is the hit song Anxiety by Doechii. Is my anxiety. Anxiety has been the viral earworm of the early summer. You'll be able to hear Doechii in person this August at Lollapalooza in Chicago. That's July 31st. This is one of many, many concerts happening across Illinois this summer. And so for the rest of the hour, we will be talking about what is coming. Joining us now is Selena Fregassi. She's a longtime music journalist who regularly contributes to the Chicago Sun-Times, The Reader, Spin. She also has another book coming out next month. This one is Atlantis, 30 Years of Jagged Little Pill. Selena, welcome back to the 21st Show.
Thank you, and thanks for the lovely introduction. It's good to be back.
And listeners, as ever, you can join us, well, I guess not as ever on Friday, but now, this part of the show, you can join us as 800-222-9455. If there are any shows you are looking forward to this summer, do let us know, 800-222-9455. All right, let's start in Chicago and Chicagoland because, you know, if we're honest, a lot of the biggest artists are going to be going there. They're not necessarily going to be coming to downstate communities. So what are some of the biggest shows you are looking forward to?
Yeah, this summer is massive in Chicago. I think one of our biggest concert seasons, maybe since the pandemic. We have Wrigley Field just kicked off their 20th year of concerts early this year, actually, before Memorial Day with Post Malone last weekend. But they're going to continue throughout the summer with the Stray Kids and Chris Brown, and it'll be a very active summer starting there. We have Lollapalooza coming, which you just mentioned. Doechii, for me, is going to be the highlight there. But the undercard acts on that bill, too, are really exciting.
I think Kendrick Lamar is going to be here. I mean, I guess he's still maybe riding the high of his Super Bowl show. Talk about that one, yeah.
Yeah, he sure is. He will be here a week from today, June 6th, at Soldier Field with SZA opening up. It's a great bill. SZA is also on his album GNX right now, and he has just become such a part of the cultural zeitgeist right now. Of course, he's getting a lot of attention for his feelings on Drake. But beyond that, his shows are always so, so powerful. Their performance art at their peak. That is going to be one of the best shows of the summer, I think.
There's some interesting orchestral artist kind of mashups. We can get through a few of those, but let's start with Jeff Goldblum and the Mildred Snitzer Orchestra at the Chicago Theater. I did not see that one coming.
Right? I don't know if everybody knows that the guy from Jurassic Park and Fly, one of, you know, the best actors ever, Jeff Goldblum, is a jazz aficionado. So for a long time, he's had a jazz project. The name of the orchestra is off of a family friend. He used to have a residency at a couple hotels in LA and New York, just really moonlighting. But he has now released official albums and is going on tour. So if you want to see a whole new side of Jeff Goldblum and get some really great orchestral jazz in the mix, he will be at Chicago Theater on July 2nd, right before July 4th.
And he actually sings. So he's like a singer, proper jazz singer. It's not like a William Shatner thing.
No, he's the real deal.
Yeah, excellent. All right. Some interesting shows coming to Ravinia as well. I don't know if there's any highlights you want to focus on there.
I love Ravinia's season this year. I think they're really going out of the box with it. I mean, they have Grace Jones and Janelle Monáe kicking off next week, I believe. Hart right before them on Friday as well. But speaking of orchestras, so Beck will be there with an orchestra, which I really want to see how he's going to do that, how songs like Loser and Where It's At might translate to a symphony. So I'm very excited for that show. Lenny Kravitz is coming back to Ravinia as well. So just a really good smorgasbord of artists. Weird Al as well at Ravinia. Totally random, but I'm here for it.
Weird Al puts on a great show, I will say. I saw him at the Illinois State Fair, oh gosh, more than a decade ago now. Yeah. But he is certainly an entertaining performer. Also, what is Morgan Freeman's symphonic blue? What is that about?
Yeah, thank you for bringing that up. So Morgan Freeman is narrating this. He won't be there, unfortunately, as far as I know. But he is putting together what's being called a first-of-its-kind concert experience that merges the Mississippi Delta Blues with an orchestra. So he's really trying to bring the history of the Delta Blues and really combine it with this different kind of soundscape for a modern audience. You know, Chicago being the home of Chicago blues, but also having these roots with the Mississippi the legacy there. I think it'll be a really interesting place to see this show.
Yeah. All right. Well, let me take a moment to remind listeners this is the 21st show. We are previewing summer concert season with Selena Fregassi, longtime music journalist. You can find her writing in the Chicago Sun-Times, The Reader, and elsewhere. 800-222-9455 if you want to join us and talk about the concerts you may be looking forward to this summer. That's 800-222-9455. We are going to take a break. When we come back, we will talk more about the shows that are coming up. We mentioned Beck. He is going to be at Ravinia with an orchestra. Maybe you can try and imagine what that will sound like with this classic version of one of his old hits, Where It's At.
Destination, a little up the road from the habitations of the towns we know. A place we saw the lights turn low, the jigsaw jazz in the get fresh flow. Pulling out jobs and jamboree handouts, two turntables and a microphone. Bottles and cans.
Bless my heart, bless my soul. I didn't think I'd make it to 22 years. There must be someone up above saying, come on, Brittany, you got to come on now. You got to hold on.
It's the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. That is Alabama Shakes, another of the summer concerts to check out this year. We're talking about that with Selena Fregassi, a music journalist. You can find her writing in Spin, Loudwire, Chicago Reader, Chicago Sun-Times. Also, a book we can talk about a little later coming out called Alanis, 30 Years of Jagged Little Pill, about Alanis Morissette's landmark album. If you want to join us, 800-222-9455. What shows are you looking forward to this summer? 800-222-9455. But Selena, let's talk about Alabama Shakes at the Salt Shed.
Yes, I was just grooving in my seat here to that song. They're just so good. And they're back for the first time in 8 long years. Brittany Howard, of course, had a solo career, but Alabama Shakes are back. They're kicking off their brand new tour right here in Chicago, July 15th at Salt Shed.
Tell me about the Salt Shed. That is, I moved out of the Chicago area many, many years ago. It is not one I have had a chance to go to yet. What is that like as a concert venue? Maybe you can talk a little bit about the history of the building.
Yeah, you know, it's one of my new favorite spaces. I wasn't sure how this would come to be when they first announced it, but so it's at the old Morton Salt Factory over in Elston. They pay homage to that, of course, with the name of the venue, but they've really built a whole little mega complex within that industrial part of the city. It's right on the river. The venue itself is a pretty sizable room. I'm not sure exactly, maybe 4,000 or 5,000 cap, but they have graduated seating. They have a big floor, really, really good acoustics. And outside of it, they have an outdoor area as well where they host shows in the summer. I don't know if Alabama Shakes will be out there, but I'm assuming. And they have different little shops. They have food trucks. So, you know, go early, catch the openers, have drinks, hang with friends. It's really a whole vibe.
So there are a number, we mentioned back before the break, there are a number of, like, I don't know if these qualify as nostalgia acts yet, but, you know, farewell tours, and some just sort of like long time, haven't seen them in a while, bands like the Yeah Yeah Yeahs. Maybe you can talk about some of those that you're looking forward to this summer.
Yeah, there's a lot of people coming back to the fold. Of course, you have Cyndi Lauper, who's saying goodbye. So she has her very, very last show in Chicago on this tour on August 5th. She's playing the Tinley Park Amphitheater. So if you really love True Colors, and I'm a fan of Cyndi Lauper, I tell this to my mom all the time that, you know, when I was little, I wish Cyndi Lauper was my mom. I was obsessed with her. She's an incredible iconoclast, and she is doing one more show in Chicago. So if you love her, be sure to go get tickets. And then you have bands like, you know, Nine Inch Nails is coming back this summer. They haven't been here in a while. Trent and his partner Atticus Ross just announced an orchestral festival, a composer festival in LA. So I don't know if they're going to be bringing that into the mix, but they're always an incredible live act. They're going to be here for 2 dates at the United Center, August 19th and 20th. And yeah, you mentioned the Yeah Yeah Yeahs, and they've been around now for 25 years, which is, I don't know where the time goes, but they did get started in that 2000s precious New York art pop indie rock scene. And they're doing something a little special this year where they're reworking their songs with different arrangements and they're going to more intimate theaters to perform them. So they will be at the Chicago Theater July 22nd and 23rd.
Well, you mentioned Nine Inch Nails, and they're not performing at Lollapalooza this year, but they are, of course, so much a part of the Lollapalooza story. But so let's talk about Lollapalooza, probably the biggest single date on the calendar. You can argue with me on that if you want, but what are we looking forward to there this year?
I'm really impressed with the amount of women acts they book this year. I think it's always the thorn in the side of the music industry is how do we get more lady headliners? They are just dominating the scene right now, as they should be. And Lollapalooza is capitalizing on that with their bookings this year. So you have Olivia Rodrigo and Sabrina Carpenter. Maybe they're going to bury the hatchet at Lollapalooza. They've had a long-going beef, so that would be cool. You have Gracie Abrams, Doechii, who we mentioned. Doechii is just on fire right now. That is going to be the set of the weekend, in my opinion. There's also some great local acts. There's a 16-year-old rapper who is one of the best in her game right now called Starbands. She will be performing there. Her talent's just incredible. So really good smorgasbord of acts. There's going to be Landon Barker. So if you love Blink-182 and Travis Barker, that is his kid. He's actually good. It's not just a Nepo baby thing. And one of my very favorite acts, if you're going to catch anybody early in the day, please go see Wonder Horse. They are a burgeoning act out of the UK who are in that like Sam Fender kind of wheelhouse. They really bring in this sort of 90s vibe with like modern electronic guitar wizardry, and they are just phenomenal live. So be sure, I always say, if you go to a festival, if you don't go early for the acts, you are literally missing out on the best opportunities to catch the next best things.
Absolutely. Wizard Horse, was that one you said?
Wonder Horse, Wonder
Wonder
Horse,
Horse, thank you. I'm sorry.
yeah.
Cool band name. Hashtag cool band name. Okay.
Yeah.
Should we pour one out for Pitchfork? What's the story there?
Oh, I know. We're I can sense the gap this summer. We have like the big mainstream events like Lollapalooza. Riot Fest is going to be a riot in September as well, 20th anniversary of that festival. But yeah, we're really missing that like indie kind of eclectic artist, the ones who wouldn't often get booked for other festivals. So I feel that this year. But the original founder of that, Mike, he is putting on a new event in Chicago this summer as well. So not the same as Pitchfork, but there are going to be some more independent events happening and popping up. But I will miss that this year.
All right, we have to turn to downstate now. So maybe we should start with probably the biggest concentration of bigger name acts, and that is the Illinois State Fair. What's happening there this summer?
Yeah, talk about another really eclectic group of artists. Jake Owen's going to be there, Country Star, on August 8th. He's also going to be at the Daquan State Fair on August 29th if you don't catch him at the Illinois State Fair. But if I was going, I would be most looking forward to Sheryl Crow August 12th and Snoop Dogg the next day, August 13th. Snoop Dogg he's just one of my favorites
And a
of all
return,
time.
yeah, a return visit to the state fair, and an interesting sort of diversification of, the knock on the state fair for many years used to be it was like classic rock and country, but they really have diversified in some recent years. We actually have a little clip of Sheryl Crow. Let's listen to that. All right, yeah, you're never expecting the James Bond theme that Sheryl Crow recorded. Of course, producer Jose is a big James Bond fan, so that may be why we got that one snuck in there. There's also this interesting thing happening this summer where there's an REO Speedwagon Legacy concert in Champaign, and Styx and the Kevin Cronin Band also was the singer for REO Speedwagon happening in the Quad Cities. I don't know how deep you can go on this particular one, or there have been many of these stories over the years where the bands kind of break up or they can't agree, and so you get different versions of them touring in different cities, sometimes at the same time.
Yeah, I'm not up to date on my history of Styx and REO Speedwagon, so I'm not sure who the current iteration is, but I mean, both such like pride and joy of Illinois. They're great anytime you see them.
Yeah, and Heart is going to be in the Quad Cities. We mentioned the DuQuoin State Fair. There are a couple other festivals I'll just mention briefly. Tailgate and Tall Boys, June 12th in Bloomington. Some acts like Co Wetzel, Cody Johnson. There's a Peoria Blues and Heritage Festival late August with Government Mule is going to be there. Maybe we can take a step back and talk a little about the economy and how that's affecting concert tickets. Obviously, you know, prices have been a big concern in recent years. The biggest shows can be so out of reach if you can even get tickets, right? Do you see any changes in the industry reacting to the sort of economic uncertainty that's out there?
You know, I don't know. We had this conversation come up a few years ago when Taylor Swift really took Ticketmaster to task, and nothing, unfortunately, really has snowballed from that at this point, with Congress sort of stepping in and trying to break up that monopoly. I think that's still one of the ongoing issues, is that there's just not a lot of different resources for ticketing that even bands can tap into to partner with, because I'm sure there are a lot of bands out there who, you know, obviously what they do, they should make their keep as an artist, but there are a lot who also disagree with this kind of pricing model. You know, you've had acts like The Cure and other people speak out against it, obviously Pearl Jam. So I don't know what will move the needle for that. You know, the problem is that supply demand, right? And so people want to go to these shows and they're willing to fork over a lot of money. And unfortunately, the scalper paradigm seems to still be thriving. So I think there's going to be more intervention that's needed. But I mean, I do know, like Lollapalooza, I don't believe it's sold out yet. That's kind of different for them. They normally are an instant sellout when they go on sale. So definitely there's a sense that there are economic impacts here, but I don't think it's bringing down this industry by any means.
Yeah, no, that's interesting that it's not sold out yet. Huh. Well, maybe that is sort of one of those stealth economic indicators. All right, a few minutes left in our time together. Tell me about Alanis, 30 years of Jagged Little Pill. Maybe you can just remind us, I guess if there are some younger listeners maybe who are not steeped in who Alanis Morissette is.
Well, if you love Olivia Rodrigo and Billie Eilish and Taylor Swift, you have to thank the godmother, Alanis Morissette. When Alanis Morissette came out in 1995, she was, of course, not the first female singer-songwriter to do this game and be really good at it, but she was one of the most commercial. She sold 33 million copies of Jagged Little Pill. She had one of the best-selling debuts of all time. At 21 years old only, she became the youngest person ever at that point to walk away with a Best Album of the Year Grammy. She's just an icon who acts just still worship and put praise on to this day. And I went and did a deep dive into that album, the making of it and its legacy, and it was quite a trip.
What was the, talk about the significance of that album in particular. And for those who weren't around in 1995, that was my senior year of high school. So like a key moment for me in you know, music appreciation in one's life. It was everywhere. Absolutely. I mean, talk about the splash it made.
Yeah, I think, you know, it really was a bit of timing too. I think you had Nirvana, Nevermind came out a few years prior and totally changed the tide for what was popular in the 90s. And then you had Alanis come around with that same kind of, like, you know, feelings put out on the table, very raw and honest. And she just had a whole host of people, particularly women, who really found relevance in what she was singing about. No one ever really did it like her before. The way she lyrically wrote her words, it was so poetic in a way. You know, and I think alternative radio was really blowing up in 95 when that album came out, and it was a huge part of the conversation around Alanis. In fact, in LA, a station called K-Rock, which is still very big and one of the Goliaths in the radio pocket, they took a chance and played that song before it was even a single. You Ought to Know, her very first song, the very provocative song with the very provocative lines in it that everybody knows. They took a chance on it, played it uncensored, and it became their most requested song for months. And it just grew and grew and grew from there. This was back in the day before social media, so it was really impressive to have the word of mouth kind of drive her career. And she's ridden with it ever since. The whole album was turned into a Broadway musical by Diablo Cody, who wrote the book, who of course did Juno. So it's just, for 30 years, it's just been really very much on the tip of everyone's tongue in the music world.
Yeah. Well, it's if you are interested in that deep dive, it's coming out next month. It's called Alanis, 30 Years of Jagged Little Pill. It's by Selena Fregasi. You can also find her writing in the Chicago Sun-Times, The Reader, Spin, and elsewhere. Thank you so much for coming and talking about summer concert season with us again.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure.
And that is it for us today. We are going to leave you with some more Alanis Morissette. Coming up next week on the show, I will preview. We are going to be talking, as I mentioned, about the attempt to rescind Chinese student visas. We're going to be talking about the so-called Big Beautiful Bill in Washington, what it could mean for Illinois. And we'll certainly be talking about the scheduled end of the legislative session, assuming that happens as scheduled as planned this weekend. That's all coming up next week on The 21st Show, which is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thank you for listening. We will talk with you again on Monday.
Don't you think? It's like rain. Goodbye.